Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? Good, sort of, maybe. Well, I guess I'll say Happy New Year's to all of you as well. Just going to get some stuff moved here, if you don't mind. So how's the week been for you? Are the Christmas time holidays been pretty good? Busy? Some of you working? No, yes. Working in between. I had the privilege of having them pretty well the whole time off, so it's quite nice. So it worked out really good. Your bulletin this morning, especially your insert for your sermon notes, if you'll notice, it actually says Exodus 33, 12 through 23. Well, there's the what it's supposed to be, all right? Last night, I picked up my notes and my manuscript, and I went opened it up, and I go, I got the wrong verse. I put the wrong verse in there. Sometimes mistakes do happen. But anyway, so write that in there if you need to. And what is interesting about the passage we read is I want to just take a look at the words that were repeated many times. It says, the Lord himself goes before you and be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid or do not be discouraged. So, question to you, how are you facing the new year so far? How are you facing it? Your confidence? Are you full of joy? Are you hopeful? Optimistic? Are you hoping that things will get better? So I can just tell by your faces, you guys have kind of different answers. Some of you are really shaking your head. Some of you are like this. And some of you say, well, I really don't know. That's one thing. We don't know what tomorrow will hold, right? Or the year will hold for us. But you know what? We can give an answer, a positive answer. We can say, yes, I can live this year in confidence and in hope and in joy. And why is that? What is the reason that we can live that way? Jesus lives where? Inside. And when he holds our tomorrows, he holds everything. But yet, if you're like me, sometimes you forget that, don't you? And when we do, what happens? Well, things kind of go haywire for a bit, right? But because God is with us, and he has given us a promise. Not only this verse I read is in Deuteronomy in Joshua, but it's also in Hebrews. Hebrews 13:5 says, in fact, God says to you and me, never will I leave you, never will I what? Forsake you. So God is with us. No matter what this year will hold, no matter what. And Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid. Do not be terrified. For the Lord your God goes with you. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. God is with us into this coming year. And I know that this next 12 months are going to hold some uncertainty for us. It's going to be a year of perplexity, like what is really going on, what's really happening. Bewilderment. There's going to be defeat. I'm going to tell you that right now. And some of us are going to suffer. That's just a given. That's just a given. But one thing we need to know, there will be victory as well, because he is in control. And there's one thing that we need to know, too, as well, is that the companionship of Christ is with us every step of the way. He is there watching us. And I want to just look at three thoughts. In fact, I'll call them the three C's. Contentment, companionship, and courage. And these will be part of our lives because Christ is our companion and he lives within. So that's what I look at first. With Christ, there is a life of contentment. Hebrews 13:5 says, being content with what you have. Did you hear that? Are you content with what you have? Are you? Some of you guys are kind of laughing a bit. But one thing we ought to realize, our modern age is really, it's just filled with discontentment and dissatisfaction and hopelessness. Frustration, uneasiness. It's like a disease that just eats into every part of our lives. It takes away the very necessities to maintain our everyday lives if we allow them to control us. And of course, that leaves just some of us and those in our community very disillusioned, dissatisfied, and sometimes very discouraged. Very discouraged. And we know the only cure is knowing Christ as your constant companion and friend. But he can only be your companion and your friend if you accepted him as Savior and Lord. Have asked him to live within you, and he'll go with you every step of the way. In him alone, there is the source of contentment. He is the source of our contentment. In verse 5 of Hebrews 13 says, being content with what you have. And we must remember this, God has made all things available to us through the cross of his Son, Jesus. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us what? All things? Not some things. Did you notice that? It's all things. And then in 1 Timothy, it also says, God richly supplies us with what? All things to what? To enjoy. He never withholds his blessings, his love and his goodness to us. He gives them to us to enjoy. And then over in 1 Corinthians, it also says, whether things present or things to come. Did you catch that? Things to come. All things belong to you. And the reason is you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. All of the blessings of heaven, all the good things are for you and for me. Yes, everything that is in God is in Christ, and everything that is in Christ is for you and for me to enjoy every day of this year. And because we know his abiding, indwelling presence, we are to be content, for he is the source of all contentment. It's amazing how many people try to find contentment in other things. Even us as Christians, we try to fill our lives with other stuff, but it never works. Only God can satisfy our heart, and he does this through our Lord and Savior. He alone is the spirit of contentment. We find this in 1 Timothy. It says, if you have food and clothing, what does it say? Be content. Be happy with what you have. For godliness as a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. So these things are going to come to us through contentment. And of course, we know these words. The Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, and he's warning Timothy about those Christians who are pursuing a journey of personal things and finding contentment in the things that they had. And he's warning Timothy to watch these people, watch those that God has placed under them, because he says those people could fall into temptation, into many foolish and harmful desires. And of course, we know when that happens, what happens? We get discontented and we fall away. We begin to focus. You're not focusing on Christ anymore. And our spiritual life, our physical life, and emotional and mental being is done with until we get right with him again, and then everything will be fine. But I know, too, that in many Christian lives, there is discontentment, dissatisfaction, there's strife, there's frustration. And I'm wondering if the reason is that we're discontented where God has placed us and given to us. Maybe we're not happy with where he's put us in life. Not satisfied with it. That's one of the characteristics of our sinful nature. You and I are going to have to struggle with that and fight with it throughout all our lives, not just through this year alone. And that's always going to come up. Always going to come up. However, the state of every Christian is to be one of contentment. True contentment comes from godliness in the heart, not wealth in the hand. If you depend on material things for contentment, you'll never be satisfied for material, if you depend on material things for contentment, you'll never be satisfied, for material things have a way of what? Losing their appeal. The only one is Jesus. That'll give us true contentment in life. Apostle Paul said this in Philippians 4. He says, "For I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." Whatever. "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in what? In any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do what? Everything through him who gives me strength." He is the source. Christ is the source of our strength. Now I've got to look at three areas. First one I'm going to look at is our physical contentment. How many of you are happy with your physical contentment? How many are you? We just heard something here this morning, didn't we, up here? God has made us who we are. Are we not to be content with that? In Psalms 37:25, it says, "I was young and now I am what? Old." Young people, that's coming. It's faster than you think. Enjoy it, but make sure you serve your Lord and Savior. "Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging bread." Then in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says these words to us. What? In Matthew 6:33, it says what? And what does he say to you and me? "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." To worry about physical things is to live a life of discontentment. When we put God's will and righteousness first in our lives, he'll take care of everything, especially our physical contentment, the things that we need to survive and live in everyday life. What a testimony it is to the world when we as Christians practice Matthew 6:33. However, what a tragedy it is when so many of us fail to practice it. Now let's look at spiritual contentment. Matthew 5:6, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be," what? "Filled." This beatitude describes a Christian with an unquenchable thirst to know more about God and his word. Is that where you are today? Do you have that thirst to know more about God, to know more about his word? In fact, this describes a Christian with a deep hunger for fellowship with God, and that's what we're going to need this year. We're going to need a deep relationship and fellowship with him to take us through this year. We have no idea what's going to come down. The last 2 years really point to a very rough year, I think. The promise to all Christians with this burning thirst and gnawing hunger is they will be fulfilled, satisfied, and content in life. But here's the thing you got to know. There can be no physical contentment unless there's spiritual contentment. That has to be looked after first, because the one spills over into the other one. Years ago, there used to be a saying that was, I can still remember it, there's a God-shaped void within all of us. Only God can fill it. Only he can fill us and give us contentment and satisfaction in life. And when we find contentment in our physical and spiritual life, it usually rolls over into our vocational life, our work life. I want you to think about that. In Philippians 1:21, the apostle said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And what is interesting about this verse is that the apostle Paul is in, where is he? He's in prison, in a Roman prison. In fact, he even says, I'm here, and the furtherance of the gospel is taking place. He is serving his Lord and Savior with contentment in chains. What a way to look at it, eh? He's there because of he was presenting the gospel. But he found contentment in there because he's fulfilling God's will and plan for his life. Christ is to be the Christian's entire vocational life. And I was thinking about this last night. I never dreamed in my life that when I entered the workforce at 17 to work with my dad to begin, that I would still be hammering nails. I enjoy it. I love it. Enjoy your vocational, the thing that God has given to you. In fact, we are to be absorbed and wrapped up in him as we work. Three things we need to know about our vocational life. First, as Christians, we work because we are what? Made in God's image. Did God go to work? Yes. So don't you think we should work? Yes. Second thing, as Christians, we are to reflect Christ through practicing integrity in our vocational life. Did you catch that? Integrity. Integrity. That's a tough one. It's a tough one, especially some of the jobs that God has given to us and the work that he's given to us. Especially when you got 200 people working and you're the only Christian on the job site. Work with integrity. And as Christians, we must realize and see our primary focus is to serve Christ through our vocational life. As a Christians, you and I are to work with enthusiasm. Do you work with enthusiasm? Or do you only work with enthusiasm when the boss is looking? As though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. And when we do that, we will find contentment in our vocational life. From there, I'm going to move to from Christ's abiding presence to a life of companionship. And Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Tremendous words. And the more we study them, and the more you look at them deeply, they should thrill your heart to realize that he is with us in every area of life. His companionship is distinguished as a personal companionship. I was looking this up, and I went back into one of the Greek Bibles I have. The rendering for this verse is actually, it begins with, he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sure, it'd be wonderful to know that through the next 12 months that God would send his angels to watch over us, to surround us, clear a pathway for us as we go. Maybe an archangel here and there once in a while. But you know what? God doesn't send an angel or an archangel. Who does he send? Himself. He said that, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You and I are assured of the very presence of Christ every step of the way this year. And we know that in Old Testament times, God came to people. And when Jesus was here on earth, he walked with people. However, now by his Spirit, he not only walks with you, but he indwells you. And the Apostle Paul's testimony was, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit came upon individuals, never indwelt them. And at times, he would depart from them because they did something that hurt the Spirit, Holy Spirit. In fact, King David cried out in Psalms, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Do not. But now you and I are assured of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives as we go through into this new year. Jesus says in John 14:6, I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper so that he may be with you for what? Forever. He'll be with you forever. That means that today, tomorrow, throughout the whole year, the Holy Spirit will be with you guiding you and walking with you. Next one is your perpetual companionship. This means continual. Again, I will never, never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. No matter how troublesome or how dark this year may be, we are assured of Christ's continual presence in our lives. Psalms 56:4 says, "In God whose word I praised, in God I have put my trust." And what does the rest say? "I shall not be afraid." Isn't that an amazing promise? That when we put our trust in him, we are not to be afraid. And over in Isaiah 12:2, it says, "Behold, God is my salvation." And it says the same words again, "I will not trust and not be afraid." And the reason is, for the Lord God is my strength, he is my song, and he's become my salvation. And though we may go through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't know what's going to hold for us this year. Nobody does. And though we may strain at the oars, remember the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, were oaring in the storm. The storm was washing over them. That may feel like you guys today. Well, I find interesting in the one storm, where was Jesus? He was sleeping in the front of the boat. And these guys thought they were losing it. They forgot to go and get Jesus to help. They waited until it was too late, almost too late. But remember, Christ is your constant and perpetual companion. He says to you and me today, as we go into this new year, he says, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be what? Afraid." Don't be afraid of tomorrow, for he holds our tomorrows. From a knowledge of Christ's abiding presence, there is a life of courage. Hebrews 13:6 says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you." So contentment, companionship, and courage, the three C's that are essential, those are needed in the months to come in this new year. And here is courage to face the eventualities of life so that we have confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, I'll not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" So as you and I face a new year, there is this fearfulness of the unknown. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, or the next week, or the month later. I have no idea. For some of us, we're wondering, what will tomorrow bring? I'm just thankful God only gives me one day at a time. The moment I put my feet out of my bed and on the floor, that's my day. That's all he gives us, nothing more. Could you imagine trying to handle 2 days at once? Just couldn't do it. However, if you know the presence of Christ in your life, you'll have the courage to face the eventualities of life. That is the unknown. Those things you don't know about that are going to take place. And I just want to look at two examples from the Old Testament for this one. First one is Jacob, and it's found in Genesis chapter 28. And you can take it and read it later this afternoon. The story goes that Jacob had deceived his brother from his birthright. And it was revealed because of this, well, Esau, his brother, said, "I'm going to kill my brother. I'm going to take his life." And of course, Jacob ran for his life. And the story goes on, it tells us, as night descended, he found a place to sleep, and he took a pillow and fell into a deep sleep. And then he had a vision of a ladder. In Genesis 28:12 says he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with his top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And this vision showed the divine purpose for Jacob's life. In fact, God said to him in Genesis 28:15, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go." So Joshua went into the unknown, assured of God's continual presence, because God had promised that he'd be with him and give him the courage to face tomorrow. Think about it. God has promised that he will go with us wherever you go. Next one is Moses. We just read that final Kurt just read the final message. That was the final message to the Israelites. Moses gave them counsel of what they would face in the promised land. But they were assured of God's constant presence and blessings. Here are his words, and their words for us today as we face the unknowns of tomorrow. Verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And because Christ lives within, we do not need to fear the unknown, because he already knows what it is. We are in his hands." Here's the courage also to face the responsibilities of life. Verse 6 says, we say confidently, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid." And I find that interesting. Did you notice the writer wrote that all in big letters? What does that tell you? He's pretty excited to write that, isn't he? He wants to make sure it catches your attention. The Lord is your helper. He's my helper. And we are not to be afraid. And of course, the eventualities of life are the unknown, but the responsibilities of life are the known, the stuff that we need to know and what we need to do. Some of us are thinking, maybe I don't like that either. I'm a little worried about that as well. But with the continual presence of Christ, we can face our responsibilities with courage. Now look at two more examples from the Old Testament. First one, of course, is Joshua, the passage that was just read. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the river into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. Have I not commanded you? What does he say to them? Be what? Strong. Be courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. Consider the responsibilities that was given to him. Think about this for a second. That were placed upon him, the leadership. This is a couple million people. What about the administration? Think about what he had to provide for these people. Get food for them, where they're going to live, what they're going to do. How about the incompatibilities of personalities, different personalities? Do you think those have been clashing? How about the grumbling and complaining? Think about that. I don't know if it was you or me. I'd be pretty overwhelmed. I'd be almost putting my running shoes on taking a hike. But you know what? Joshua was assured of God's presence. And he went forward with courage and faced the responsibilities of life. King David, a man after God's own heart. But because he was a man of war, God says, "You're not going to build my temple for me." So David passed that on to his son and gave him the instructions. In fact, he even encouraged Solomon with these words in 1 Chronicles. And David said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and courageous and act. Do not fear nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you unto all the work, for the service of the house the Lord is finished." So what does this mean to us? The answer is this: in order to meet the eventualities of life and the responsibilities of life that you and I will face in the new year, we need to realize that we have the courage to face that because we have a personal, continual presence of Christ within our lives. So, as we wrap up, the three C's, what were they? Do you remember them all? Everybody's sitting there wondering, okay, what are they now? Courage, companionship, and contentment. And when you know what the companionship of Christ is, you will experience a life of contentment found only in whom? In Christ. And you will experience a personal life of the continual presence of Christ. And this contentment is only found in Christ. And you will experience a life of courage found only in Christ to face the eventualities, the unknown and the known in the coming year to come. I'm just so thankful that I can take his hand and go into tomorrow. Think about that. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Worship team, I believe we have one more hymn to sing. And we're going to sing an old hymn. And I think it's a fitting hymn at the beginning of a new year. And it's called All the Way My Savior Leads Me. So the team...